This is written in Deuteronomy. Let these words that I command today be written in your heart. Recite them, teach them diligently to your children. Newspaper articles and Facebook postings made many aware the interfaith community gathered at the Shenango County Courthouse steps on Thursday last to offer a vigil for peace. At the vigil, we tried to address the current violence against different groups and therefore stand against hate. I am sure many would say, the opposite of hate is love, is it not? And we are all for love, are we not? So organizing a gathering against hate was a given. However, that misses the point. The opposite of hate is not love. The opposite of hate is apathy. That is why we needed to gather, needed to take action, the action of shining a light on love, which is neither apathetic nor indifferent. Love itself is an action. Members of this church were present, but for those who were not, let me offer a précis of how it unfolded, or at least what I remember. A caveat, some who were there may have different details or impressions. This is just my experience. One count put the number of souls assembled at more than 100. At the beginning, we heard the steeple bell of this church peal 13 times. Dr. Tom Holmes started by referring to recent violence. 11 people were murdered while worshiping at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, and 2 African Americans died in Tennessee while shopping, murdered because of their race. We were gathered, Tom said, to honor those who died in acts which were clearly hate crimes. American citizens murdered because they were Jewish or African American. Ken Warner from the Norwich Jewish Center then read the names of the 13 who died. Ken also recited the Kaddish, the prayer said as a part of mourning rituals in the Jewish tradition. There was silence, and then Mary Williams rang a handbell 13 times. Sue Fertig from the Norwich Jewish Center offered context. She recalled how 2 ships carrying Jews seeking asylum, seeking safety, were turned away from these shores just before and during World War II. Many who were refused entry wound up in concentration camps. Sue spoke of personal history of relatives who both did not survive the Holocaust or live through it. She spoke about the desecration of the Jewish Center here in Norwich several years ago. The building still has not been totally restored. Next, the Reverend Rachel Morse of Broad Street United Methodist Church read Psalm 5 from the translation known as The Message. Verses 4, 5, and 6 read, God, you do not socialize with wicked. Invite evil over as your house guest. Hot air boasters collapse in front of you. You shake your head over mischief makers. God destroys lie speakers. Bloodthirsty truth benders disgust you. And verse 11 says, You, O God, welcome us with open arms. when we run to you for cover. The Reverend Dr. David Spiegel of the First Baptist Church then spoke with passion. David was raised in his mother's Christian tradition, but his father was Jewish. His father, a World War II hero, acted as the personal bodyguard of General Dwight David Eisenhower. After the war, David's father tried to join the Jersey State Troopers. "You can't do that," he was told. "You're Jewish, too weak. You'll run when there's danger." Eventually, David's father became the chief, the commanding officer of the Jersey State Police. David's dad always impressed on him prejudice was going to be a part of his life. Indeed, when David attended a Christian college in Iowa, since he had a name often associated with a Jewish heritage, people asked him why he wanted to go to a Christian school. David's message to us was clear. Marginalization, hate, bigotry have no place. I was next. I offered some history. I said marginalizing groups and inciting has been around for many, many millennia. In 1949, more recent but still a long time ago, Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote the musical South Pacific. In this work, the song "You've Got to Be Carefully Taught" is sung by Marine Lieutenant Joe Cable, who is in an interracial relationship. He insists racism is not born in you. It happens after you're born. Cable then sings these words. "You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made, of people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught." Then I said, "Let us, together, understand we must not marginalize, we must not teach hate. Let us understand we must teach love and respect. When we teach love and respect, and when we learn love and respect, this will empower us all to be truly free." At that point, I offered a benediction. I will use those words at the end of this service today. A number of people told me they were moved by this event, moved by its simplicity, its sentiments, its honesty, its attempt at shining a light when light is sorely needed. I take no individual credit for that. I was part of a team. This is what we hear in the work known as Deuteronomy. "Let these words that I command today be written in your heart. Recite them, teach them diligently to your children." We need to understand something about the instruction which tells us to teach our children. What are we invited to teach? Quote, Yahweh, our God, Yahweh alone is one. You are to love Yahweh, our God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This should be obvious. We are invited to love. As I said earlier, love is an action. We are invited to teach. Teach is an action. Why was there a gathering Thursday last? Action was necessary. Action was imperative. We live in a world where silence is not an option. It does not matter if you are an introvert and say, well, I can't say anything in public. That's not who I am. You do not have to say a word. You can act. Actions speak louder than words. In a couple of minutes in the time set aside for the prayers of the people, we shall have a litany of remembrance. It might be argued these prayers are just words, not action, when action is required. So let me address my experience with words which are prayers. Prayer centers us to be prepared to take action, to be active, centers us and thereby empowers us to understand God walks with us at all times, under all circumstances. Which brings us back to action, the action called for by Deuteronomy, that we need to diligently teach the love of God to our children. I think a key question for us as a society is not what are we teaching our children. We know we need to teach love. The key question is how are we teaching our children? We need to teach our children with action. And yes, sometimes actions are words. Sometimes words are used to spread the love of God and love of neighbor. And yes, sometimes words are used to spread violence and anger and hate. Indeed, I said marginalized groups and inciting have been around for millennia. So perhaps words and action have always been necessary. To be clear, I think many of us believe in our time, silence is not a viable option. I do not think silence at this time is golden. I do realize right now there are many who are participating, who are practicing silence. There are many who are practicing silence, perhaps with the belief that violence, anger, fear will dissipate on its own. Or perhaps malice drives the silence. Again, silence is not an option. Silence is a display of apathy. Let me quote Holocaust survivor, Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel on the topic of silence. Quote, Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. When human lives are endangered, when human dignity is in jeopardy, national borders and sensitivities become irrelevant. Whenever men and women are persecuted because of race, religion, or political views, that place must, at that moment, become the center of the universe. So, how are we teaching our children? Do our words and our actions incite violence, anger, fear? Or do our words, our actions invite what Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, insisted were the two great commandments? Quote, love the Most High God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And quote, love your neighbor as yourself. Love of God and love of neighbor are irrevocably intertwined with justice. God's justice for all people. We must not remain silent as we seek God's justice. Amen.